now, we're going to take a deep dive into all things WIZO, the Women's International Zionist Organization, and we're going to chat to Jocelyn Basarabi, who's on the line, the chairman and council member of the Johannesburg branch. Jocelyn, great to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon. Great to be with you. I've really enjoyed all your interviews that I've heard and learnt a lot from them.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anybody said at the beginning of an interview. I'll take that, run with that, and thank you for that. Let's talk about WIZO. Give me a brief history. How did it begin? Why did it begin?
Well, Vera Weitzman and Rebecca Seif, they started a foundation called Mother Care in the Palestine area because there was a great need for people to learn how to look after their children, and they needed food and clothes. It was all very scarce. And by 1932, they'd evolved into some kind of women's organization. And Vera Weitzman came to South Africa, and she was determined to start the first women's Zionist group. She had a bit of opposition because the Zionist groups were only run by men at the time. But she happened to overcome them. And then the women, we were called the South African Zionist Council for some time. We were then connected to World WIZO. We were just WZO. We were connected to World WIZO and received the benefits of the WIZO Federation and their constitution. And today we still receive the same benefits. And there's a woman on our committee whose grandmother was there, her mother came to the WIZO, and now she's running a very good ship here herself. That is Helen Maisels-Twisk.
I just want to give a bit of context because you mentioned some very famous names there, and I'm thinking if you're not Jewish, you just may not know that Vera Weitzman was, in all likelihood, I'm guessing, Chaim Weizmann's wife, the first president of the State of Israel.
Yes.
It's pretty remarkable. So this really small, at the time, really insignificant body has kind of become one of the most popular women Zionist organizations worldwide.
Yes, absolutely. And she had the benefit of traveling to the area to see what it needed with her husband. And it's quite incredible how it landed up here in South Africa. And in 1932, when Vera Weitzman came here and started the first group, she then, there was a woman, a doctor, she left a doctor running the first WIZO group over here. And in 1998, WZO of South Africa changed its name to WIZO South Africa, Women's International Zionists. But it was these two women who were the pioneers.
And in terms of what it is that WIZO actually does, go into that in a little more detail for me and also explain to me, are we talking Israel only? Are we talking including South Africa? Where, what and how?
Well, firstly, Women's International Zionist has about 42 federations all around the world. And their projects are aiming to improve the lives of women and children and the elderly in Israel. They include daycare centers, youth villages, battered women's shelters, and hotlines for men who need to learn anger management. That is in Israel. And here in South Africa, we have a very special project that we have taken on called Neve WIZO in Herzliya. And this particular project consists of 5 family homes for children who've been removed from their homes by court order. And each home has 8 children in the homes. The Israeli government would like to see us have 12. And we hire foster parents. We hire therapists to actually heal these fractured lives. We've had a lot of success. And we've had people come back from Israel to thank us for making them what they were, having lived in that home.
Jocelyn, it's really interesting. I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking on one hand how absolutely wonderful the work is that you do. On the other hand, I'm thinking that kind of made sense to me when Israel was a very poor, struggling country with a GDP that barely existed. And then it became one of the wealthiest countries in the in the Western world with very significant GDPs, do you not think that perhaps the investment would be better spent in the South African Jewish community than in Israel, given that Israel is now a powerhouse of technology and whatever else?
I love your question. Firstly, what we do in Israel and what the federations do in Israel is not done by the government.
Okay.
The money in Israel is being spent on the defense force, even more so today than it ever was.
Interesting.
So however much, there will always be poor in every country. And these are people who need to be uplifted and to be put into society to be able to become the creme de la creme. But in South Africa, we have, and Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, all over, we have an initiative called Wheelchairs for Hope. And these wheelchairs are bought from an NGO in Israel, and they're distributed here to children who have mobility problems in very challenged areas. They are for children ages 5 to 9, and then they pass those wheelchairs back on. And that's one of our biggest outreach programs. Durban has just ordered 99 wheelchairs. And we have a very big garden, annual garden day coming up on the 2nd of November. And a lot of our fundraising money will go towards those Wheelchairs for Hope. But to also answer another part of your question, mm-hmm. there's the Union of Jewish Women, there's the Benevolent, there's the Angel Network, and they are all working for South Africa. They've done amazing work.
Fair enough.
And some of them have done some in tandem stuff with us. But it's left for us to be able to help those in need in Israel, because it's not done by anybody else. And I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
WEEDSO has also, we're not just an old ladies organization having fun in fundraising, you know. We lobby for women's rights.
Yeah.
And we've actually been able to change a bill in the Knesset for equal pay for men and women in Israel. And what else we've
had.
No,
that's fascinating. I had no idea that there was a political aspect to your activities as well. That really is interesting.
Yes, definitely. That is, and then also when people become members of WEEDSO, it's 250 Rand a year. But we need numbers in membership because we've got an observer status at the United Nations. And after October the 7th, we, in connection with other women's organizations in Israel, started to make sure that people knew about the atrocities on women and children, men, everything. And that came from our observer status in the United Nations.
You're telling me a lot that I didn't know about this afternoon. It's been very, very, very valuable. Thank you. Let's talk about your personal journey yourself. What inspired you to get involved with WEEDSO? It sounds like there were lots of options out there.
There were. No, there was a certain lady who lived in my area, and she asked me to join, and I said, I'm definitely not a committee person. Anyway, we started a group called Women Inspired, and we took on a sort of a view of doing adult education. And I did it at my home. We used to clear out everything and put up the chairs. And I mean, once we had a whole thing on cannabis, and people were there to interview the guy on cannabis and get advice and medical cannabis. And then there was someone who'd been very badly abused. And we had 70 women here in my house, all sitting under their chairs, hearing the details. I've also had Darren Basarabi, who's a clinical psychologist, come and do a we had 60 people here to hear him teach us how to maintain our triggers and not to get angry.
Oh,
and and also, and all of us, people have asked him all over the world, and he does run workshops.
Okay.
He can run for you. And also, what's his name? Dan Stillerman did a wonderful evening for us. The Capital, whom I know, the men who own it, they gave us the Melrose Arch Capital that evening. And Dan Stillerman came, and there was a screen from ceiling to floor, and he explained everything that he could to us about AI and ChatGPT.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, so much of that is changing, but we got a very, very good, and he does classes on that as well. So we really feel that we inform the country of what's happening.
Jocelyn, we've got about a minute and a half before I've got to go to news. So kind of a final question. I'm interested in how younger members of the community could get involved with your work. And are you experiencing challenges appealing to the younger generation?
Thank you. We are. We really are. A lot of them have immigrated, a lot of working, and we're trying to build up a young group because we do need accession. And what we want to do is train them and encourage them and use their energy and their thoughts. And I believe in Australia, they've taken over from the older group. We could become the counselors. So that is our next very big project, is to bring young people in and let them make the difference to everybody's lives.
So then in the final minute, let me just ask you, what is your vision for WEETSO for the next 3 to 5 years?
Just to continue to build up the young people so that they can, and also to look, I've had the privilege of speaking to a survivor of the
Nova.
Of the Nova. And they didn't even know about WEETSO. So, you know, we just need to spread the word, make people more aware of it. When we did one of the first charities in this town, the men were saying to me, what's WEETSO? You know? So maybe we can have some MISO as well and bring the men in and get them to benefit as well. And also just to build up our funds and to continue helping and growing the people here and in Israel.
Jocelyn, thank you for your time this afternoon. That was an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Jocelyn Basarabi, the chairman and council member of the Johannesburg branch of WEETSO.